I bring greetings from the Brocredi LMA, the Diocese of St David's, and the Church in Wales. It's been a long journey to get here. And enotad amab asbrydglam. Amen. It is such a joy to be with you today, and I'd like to reflect a little bit on one line from the Gospel reading. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So again, thank you for your welcome. It is always a privilege to come and preach in other churches in areas I've never visited before. So thank you to Father TJ for inviting me to come along. It definitely feels like good soil, fertile soil, being here at St. Paul's. Why am I here? Why is this strange Englishman ministering in the church in Wales suddenly popping up to preach at the Eucharist in Cleveland Heights? I wonder that myself sometimes. Quite a few months ago, one of my stepsons, who's popped out for a coffee now, said, there's this theme park, the best in the world, that I want to go to. Last year, the best theme park in the world was Europa Park in Germany. This year, the best theme park in the world was apparently Cedar Point. So I texted Father TJ and said, do you know anything about the Cedar Point? He said, oh yeah, I went there about 20 odd years ago and it's quite good. And by the way, I'm just down the road. Or words to that effect. So after we booked, I texted him and said, do you fancy a preacher for Sunday morning? Yes, please, he said. Then a little bit like, oh, did I mention there's Eucharist at 7:45 a.m, 9 a.m, 10:30 a.m. We're staying in Port Clinton, so we've had a 90-minute drive to get here. We left at 5:30 this morning. Well, that was a plan anyway. So I'm here mainly because of theme parks, which is something I've been fascinated by for decades. From before the time I first went in a roller coaster, the first time I really started thinking about it was in 1994, I've checked the dates, when the computer game for the Commodore Amiga, Theme Park, came out. Did anyone come across it? One at least. Yeah, this idea that you're running a theme park and then you've got to manage everything to do with that, keep people happy and not go bust. So how much salt do you put on the fries? Put enough salt on, they get thirsty, they buy more soda. Put too much on, they get upset because they're having to buy more soda and the fries are really salty. How much ice do you put in the soda? If you put lots in, you don't spend too much buying it. If you put too much in, people get upset because they've just got ice. We had that yesterday, in fact, at Cedar Point Shores. What do you do with the roller coasters? Do you have them really over-the-top exciting, but then they break down where you don't maintain them enough? What are the queues like? Sorry, the lines, I should say. Do they get boring? Have you got entertainment? Do you have expensive or cheap entry tickets? And so it goes on, all those things. And then Roller Coaster Tycoon came out as well, to have more of this whole inventing, developing theme parks. How to make the place a fertile land where people are happy and you're not losing money. At some point, I eventually went on a roller coaster for the first time. I remember I was a teenager. I've looked up the years. I must have been a sophomore if I'm using US terminology. And I went with a school or college trip and I followed my friends. I didn't know what I was queuing up for. And it was the Thunder Loop at Alton Towers in England. You start static, then you go flying forward, you do a loop the loop, and then you stop. You're laying facing up like this for about 5 years, it felt like. And then you do a loop and you're facing down for another 5 years. And then you come to a standstill. I leant forward when it took off. I hurt my neck, I got whiplash. I loved it and never really looked back. Idiot that I am, I know. Story of my life is doing stupid things, like agreeing to preach 90 minutes from where we're staying when on vacation. Since then, though, I've been to other theme parks in the UK, Germany, as I said, Europa Park was apparently the best in the world, France, Florida, and now Ohio. A couple of those was encouraged by my stepson. When you walk into a theme park, it feels almost like paradise. You've got the music, the sounds, the shops, the bright lights, all the happy people going around, and all the roller coasters and the screams of terror in some cases. And it's wonderful. But then I thought, well, is it more like, well, like rocky ground, using our parable today? It seems great, but does it really have much depth? After a while, you get bored. Another 2 hours on a line for a roller coaster which lasts 90 seconds. If it doesn't break down while you're in the line and have to go back and start again. The soda, which is more ice, at whatever price they want to charge. You get bored. I've got a habit of including random song lyrics in sermons, completely unrelated to what the singer intended most of the time. And so I was thinking of a song by Pulp, a British band from the mid-90s. It was okay for a while, but soon I wanted more. I want to see as well as hear. That carries on a tangent I'm not going to repeat in a sermon. It's okay for a while, but then I want more. I'm bored. Recognise that feeling? In all kinds of things, and we've got something, but it's not enough. I need the newer car, the bigger TV, 75-inch television in almost every room in the Airbnb we're staying. Why? What is the point of a television that size? I digress. We see it in theme parks. This is the best ride, they declare. Oh, wait a minute, there's a ride over there in the other park. We need a better ride, a bigger ride, a faster one. That one's boring, it's rubbish, it's old. We need one that's faster with more loops, more barrel rolls. It needs to go higher. We've got 200-foot drop. We need 300-foot drop. More and more extreme, different themes. No, I didn't go on some of those rides over the last few days. I looked at them. I thought, that'd be fun, but that's a long way up. And you're static for about 5 minutes, it looks like. Or you're teetering over the edge, then it tips down. I didn't do it. Instead, yesterday we were at the water park, and I thought, I'll play it safe. I'll go on the lazy river. What could possibly go wrong laying on one of those big rings? I'll tell you what can go wrong. You fail to get on properly. You do a double somersault, bang your elbow on the floor, get scratching that so I can't bend it properly, and bang my head underwater on it. It wasn't very deep. Maybe I should have done those extreme roller coasters. Are the roller coasters, are the theme parks rocky, superficial ground, deceptive ground where, if you look at it, all that sparkles is not gold? Am I going anywhere with a sermon, you might wonder? Am I just reflecting on my vacation so far as an excuse for a sermon? Don't worry, I am going somewhere, and I hope I know where. Father TJ and myself met initially online 6 years ago during COVID. Father joined the Sodality of Mary, Mother of Priests, that I've been a member of for a little bit longer than that. And then 4 years back, we met in person in Oxford, in England. We've become friends. We've discussed various things, supported each other through life, the universe, and everything, chatting about what God might be doing, what God might be calling us to next. So I'm delighted that God has called TJ to this parish. Care for him, pray for him. He is a fantastic priest. As is Mother Mo, from what I can understand, having met her earlier today. One of the things with the sodality is the intention of helping priests become more holy. Reflecting on the fact the world needs holy priests. We need to become more holy to help to create more fertile ground within ourselves and within the church in making Jesus known and so seeing the world transformed. And God knows that all priests need to be made more holy. It's something we have to work on day by day by day as we study the scriptures, as we pray, as we acknowledge our sins and try to turn more and more to Christ. Sometimes it is so easy to look at something which is shiny and exciting and think it's wonderful. We've probably all done that. Look at that wonderful new book, that lovely car. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's car, etc. Yeah, hey, all guilty as charged. But, you know, it's all at that superficial level. We think something's wonderful, but if you go under the surface, it's not quite the same. If we don't go down to those roots, what's going on below? How rooted is it? Is it lacking substance? We ask ourselves all kinds of things. Is anyone watching the Soccer World Cup? Couple of hands. It's wonderful being here. The matches are being played at sensible times. It was a pain back in the UK, England kicking off at 2 a.m. Sometimes you look at a squad and it's made up of a load of superstars. You think they're going to be wonderful. You've got all these amazing players. And then you see them getting annoyed with each other on the team if they don't pass to each other. You see them not passing, not scoring, losing matches, bickering, and everything else. They're not a team. It looks good on the surface. You've got the world's best 11, but they've got knocked out. On the other hand, there's other squads where the players don't look very good. They've played for lower league teams, never done anything much, but they just get it. They come together in a community. You see, they clear the ball off the line and everyone congratulates them. They score a goal, they win a match, and the whole team celebrates. Truly, it's fertile ground with them all together, at unity, at peace. Did anyone watch Ted Lasso on Apple TV? Yeah, a few. Another then sodality priest, Mother Jordan, a Texan ministering in Canada, alerted me to it again during COVID. This US college football coach somehow getting a job at an English soccer team in the Premier League, not knowing the rules of soccer, not having seen a match or anything else, but he pulls them together. They start believing each other and become bigger than the individual players. Truly fertile ground for growth as a group and inspiring others, the fans, even the corrupt owner who wants to get them relegated, to believe that good things can happen. There's so much going on with the conversion of hearts and minds and lives in that program. Sometimes I look around at some churches and think, wow, that looks amazing. They've got all the flashy lights, the worship band, the smoke machines, the passionate preachers, thousands of people. I want one like that. Why have I got a little church? Then sometimes you look at those churches, think, are they actually growing? Are they coming near to Jesus? Or does it become more about the aesthetics, the show? Does that detract? And sometimes it's tragic to see after a few years those churches just peter out. As a church, we have to ask sometimes, are we fully rooted, in fertile ground, trying to grow in worship, in love, in fellowship, in discipleship? Or is it all a little bit shallower? We need to work for that fertile ground. We need to go deeper in our faith, deeper in knowing Jesus more, deeper in our love of God and neighbour. So yes, we need holy priests. We need holy, excited people, fired up, expectant about what God is doing. Not just what God might want to do, but what God is doing now. Are we excited about what God is doing in our midst? Not just resting on the idea that people should be Christian so we don't have to do anything, but actually showing what a difference it makes being followers of Jesus. I grew up in the Church of England. I ministered there, then ministered for the last few years in the church in Wales, not a million miles away, but a subtle change with it not being established, not being quite linked in the same way to the whole state. But even there, there's this idea that this is a default, that people should be Anglican, and we don't think about it too much necessarily. And so coming over and looking at churches in the Episcopal Church is always inspiring for me, because you've not got all of that baggage of establishment. And yes, I'm saying that as an Englishman, as you're celebrating 250 years of getting away from England. I admit that. And I'm with you, I left the Church of England because I wanted to be in a disestablished church. But what I see so much in the congregations in the Episcopal Church is a real focus on initiatives and outreach and programs with things going on. You know, I was looking at your website, seeing about the projects, the Act 2 resale shop, reading about Martin Luther King being invited 63 years ago, not just to visit this church, but to come and speak. How that must have inspired people in their faith. I am truly in awe of things like that done. Helping people in their Christian journey, inspiring, encouraging people. We need to live in a way that people are inspired, desperate to know more about what makes us tick, desperate to know what a difference it makes to us being followers of Jesus. And also realizing and letting other people know that we too are still desperate to grow. We've not reached that plateau of Christian knowledge and perfection. Let's be honest, we'll never get there. But we keep going in that direction. Keep trying to know Jesus more. Growing in our faith. Growing in our worship. Growing in our faithfulness. Confessing our sins when we mess it up. Knowing we're not the finished article. In the world, there are so many quick fixes available. Roller coasters, soccer, to name two I've mentioned in this sermon. You will be able to think of so many others. Things that make us think, if only we get involved with that, everything will be wonderful. And then we realise it's not. You follow soccer and you need another win, a bigger win, a better player. You go to theme parks and you need a better ride, a faster ride, a more exhilarating ride. It's never enough. After a while in a theme park, I'm fed up. I don't know if anyone else feels like that, with anything we get passionate about. I go back, but still, it's not the be-all and end-all. It's not the meaning of life, the universe and everything. St. Augustine of Hippo, who died in the year 430, spoke of this in his Confessions book. He said of God, "You've made us for yourself. Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee." We're searching, each and every one of us. The whole of humanity is searching for meaning. Restless, searching for God. trying other things and realizing nothing can scratch that itch. Nothing can fill that hole that only God can fill and give us that peace for which we search. And so we have the challenge of creating fertile ground that helps other people and ourselves come to that, find their rest, their purpose, their hope, meaning to life in Jesus. For this, we need holy priests. We need holy laity. We need holy churches. We need excited priests, excited laity, excited, expectant churches. Because that's what we need to do. Are we excited about what God is doing in our midst? We work not on our own, thankfully, because if it's up to us, we're done for. But called, anointed, equipped, refreshed by the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people and kindle in them, kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen.